Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and today we have another lesson from CEDH. CEDH is a metagame within the Commander format that sits at one extreme with highly consistent, highly efficient decks. Not all cards are equally powerful in all formats, or even in all metagames, but there are lessons to be learned from how people are brewing with some of the most powerful cards in Magic's history. And we've talked before about the importance of playing your seat and playing your role at the table. But today, we're going to go more in-depth on the concept of priority in Commander, a subject where there is a fairly significant gulf between CEDH tables and less competitive tables. And when I say in-depth, we're going to dissect the Magic comprehensive rules in this episode. I'll make sure I include notations of which rule I'm citing, and the video version of this episode, if you're audio only, may be a good one to check out for that information. A lot of what we actually do at the table represents shortcuts that we take in order to make the gameplay smoother than the rules say it's actually supposed to be. But there are definitely times when you, as a player, need to pump the brakes, slow down gameplay, and make sure that everyone has a chance to respond to a particular spell or ability. At the end of an ideal game of Commander, someone will have won, but all participants will have had the opportunity to express themselves through their deck building and gameplay. Knowing what a beefy and complex topic this is going to be, let's get started right away. And I want to start with the topic of what exactly is priority. You may have heard about this before, but a good way to think about it is that priority is an indicator of who gets to play spells or activate abilities. Think of priority as being like a baton that gets passed around the table for each player to take their game actions in turn. If you're holding that baton, you're the one who gets to take game actions. This includes casting spells or activating abilities. Specifically, whenever a player has priority, they can activate an ability or cast an instant spell, or any other spell that happens to have flash. When a player has priority during their own main phase, and if there are no other spells or abilities on the stack, they can cast a spell, including a permanent or sorcery spell, activate a planeswalker loyalty ability, or play a land. How priority passes around the table is almost as important as the concept of priority itself. The game assigns priority to the active player whenever the steps and phases end. Which makes a lot of sense, right? The active player is whoever's turn it is, and all their players are considered to be non-active players. Yes, this is the source of the active player, non-active player, APNAP that a lot of judges will talk about. This is an important concept to get, but there are exceptions to this rule as well. If there are turn-based actions that need to resolve, such as drawing a card, or abilities that trigger at the beginning of a step or phase, are going to resolve before the active player gets priority. And usually players don't get priority during the untap or cleanup steps of the turn. Usually. Once those turn-based or triggered abilities resolve, active player gets priority. After you've taken an action, you can hold priority. Anytime a player takes any game action, such as casting a spell or activating ability, they gain priority again and can hold priority to cast another spell or activate another ability. This specifically is one way that players will often attempt to win with Thoracle Consult. I cast Thoracle, I hold priority, I cast Demonic Consultation, naming Coalition Victory to exile my library. Now, assuming you don't hold priority then passes around the table in turn order. When you pass priority, you declare that you are not taking any additional game actions, and allow the next player in turn order to take their shot at taking game actions. If all players pass priority, the spell or ability on top of the stack resolves, so every player gets an equal opportunity to respond to a particular spell or ability. Finally, if the spell or ability you put onto the stack resolves, priority passes back to the active player. So with a more firm grasp of priority, it's time to start looking at the stack. We've referenced it a few times already, so we really need to dig into it. The stack is the zone where you go to resolve game actions. When you cast a spell, you begin by moving the card from your hand onto the stack, or out of your graveyard if you're casting a spell with flashback, or wherever it may be coming from. Whenever you activate an ability, again, you put the ability onto the stack as a virtual object. You pay any associated costs with casting the spell or activating the ability, and then you either hold priority or pass priority, as we described just a few moments ago. Spells and abilities on the stack resolve from the top of the stack to the bottom of the stack. And there are quite a few Commander gameplay channels which usually represent the stack visually, with a stack of card images with new cards being put on top of old ones on the stack. You put new spells or abilities onto the stack on top of older ones because you stack cards physically from bottom to top, and you resolve spells or abilities from the top of the stack down to the bottom because when you take something off of a stack, you take it off of the top first. When an object on the stack resolves, you remove it from the stack and it does the thing, whatever that might be. If it was a permanent spell, the permanent enters the battlefield. If it's instant or sorcery, the spell's effect happens and it's moved to the graveyard. If it's an activated or triggered ability, the effect of the ability happens and it's removed from the stack as a virtual object. And that's the stack. There are other nuances that we probably should cover as well, but I think it's a little bit outside of the realm of this particular episode. Now, one thing we have not covered in much detail yet are triggered abilities. Triggered abilities begin with the word when, whenever, or at. The basic case for them is pretty simple. If the conditions for that trigger are met, the ability triggers. The ability will be put onto the top of the stack the next time a player would receive priority, just like any other spell or ability. Where things get a little bit messy in multiplayer is if multiple abilities trigger as the result of the same game action. If a single game action would trigger multiple abilities, which are controlled by one or more players, those triggers go onto the stack in turn order. This means that if I'm player 1, and both players 2 and 3 have their heuristic studies triggered by me casting a spell, player 2's trigger goes onto the stack first, player 3's goes second. And if I choose not to pay the 1, player 3 will draw their card before player 2 does, because it's going to come off the stack from top to bottom, but it's going to go onto the stack from bottom to top. It gets even messier if you consider the situation where if one player controls two different triggered abilities, then they're going to put them onto the stack in whichever order they choose. So going back to our previous example, if player 2 is getting two triggers off of something like, say, Mystic Remora and Ristic Study, they'll choose which order one of those will go onto the stack first, one will go second. Player 3's trigger, though, will still wind up at the top of the stack, and it will resolve first, meaning that if I choose not to pay the 1 or the 4 or the other one, player 3 will still draw first. And just like anything else on the stack, players do need to pass priority around the table before those triggered abilities start coming off the stack. Now, in most cases, this is fairly simple. We just say, okay, yeah, I can't pay, you draw, and most times other players aren't going to really have a response to the triggered abilities. Now, the next thing to consider, making it even more complicated, is if there are triggered abilities, they're only really going to work if the ability actually triggers. So, let's look at a new situation. Let's say that player 1 casts Demonic Tutor, player 2 controls Heuristic Study, and player 3 controls an Archivist of Ogma. Player 2's ability will go onto the stack and resolve first, because Archivist of Ogma has not triggered until we get back down to the Demonic Tutor, resolve that spell, and actually search the library. The big takeaway here is that in general, the last player in turn order has their triggers resolved first. And you need to pay close attention to whether or not a trigger is going to happen before or after another effect resolves. Our last stop is going to be looking at how priority works alongside the steps and phases of the turn that we often really breeze through as commander players. Steps and phases end and move to the next step or phase only when the stack is empty and when everyone has passed priority around the table. Changing steps and phases doesn't go onto the stack, so to speak, but players sort of play it that way with something like in response to you going to end of turn. Let's go through these steps and phases in terms of when commander players tend to take the most actions. The end step is often that point. Effects which say until the end of turn, until the beginning of the next end step, these are going to trigger first and will go onto the stack before either active players or non-active players have a chance to put other effects onto the stack. Now, you can respond to those until end of turn triggers when priority passes around like normal, like we discussed a few moments ago. If you want to wait until those triggers have resolved, you still have a chance to do so, as you will get priority again before the game moves on to the cleanup step. Importantly, during this phase, if you have an effect you control that will last until the beginning of the next end step, the game will not back up to start the end step over again. So if you use this effect during player 2's end step, it will last until the end of player 3's end step. Until end of turn is different, as these will end during the cleanup step, which occurs after the end step. If instead of you waiting for the end step, you want to take an action before you go to end step, you can certainly do so, but this will take place during the active player's post-combat main phase. The stack will still then need to empty again before we can move to the end step, which means that we are still in the main phase. And once the stack is empty again, the active player gets a chance to cast permanents and sorceries before they pass the turn. This is also true if you take an action, quote, before you go to combat. If a player proposes they're going to move to combat, and you respond by destroying their commander, Riona the Fire Dancer, to try to deny them Riona's triggered ability, they do still have the option to recast Riona, as players did not press priority around the table without taking an action, which means that they're still in the pre-combat main phase, and the stack is still empty. On the other hand, if the ability triggers whenever this creature attacks, whenever you attack, or whenever one or more creatures which meet a specific condition attack, such as Winota counting non-human creatures who attack, players can take action during the beginning of combat step, and Winota cannot be recast. If the trigger goes onto the stack whenever a creature blocks or becomes blocked, you need to take the action during the declare attacker step at the latest. And if the trigger goes onto the stack whenever a creature deals combat damage, then your last chance is during the declare blocker step. During your upkeep is another frequent place that players will try to respond to actions other players are taking. Remember that just like at the end step, at the beginning of your upkeep triggers will go onto the stack first, and as usual, you can respond to them. And if you're the active player and you have multiple triggers, you can put them onto the stack in the order that you choose. The active player will not move onto the draw step until the stack is empty during the upkeep. So sometimes players will want to wait until their upkeep to cast a top deck tutor, which can be the correct choice in some cases. Moving on from the upkeep, players do in fact get priority during the draw step. Sylvan Library triggers the beginning of the draw step, but even though this is a, quote, at the beginning of your draw step trigger, it still happens after you draw a card for the turn as a turn-based action. An opponent's Smothering Tithe also triggers during your draw step. It will go onto the stack after you've drawn a card. So you do get a chance to look at the information that card contains and decide whether or not you're going to pay the two. Finally, at the beginning of the pre-combat main phase, Sagas get a lore counter as a turn-based ability, and effects go onto the stack as a triggered ability, which means that the last chance you have to stop an Urza Saga trigger is during the draw step. This is also the time in the turn when a player who controls something like Carpet of Flowers has the first option to trigger the enchantment for the turn. If they don't, they can do so again during their post-combat main phase. Okay, that's a lot so far, but now that we have this information down, it's time to start putting it all together. We often shortcut a ton of this in Magic in general, and especially in Commander. I mean, if we stopped and specifically required each player in a 4-player pot of Commander to pass priority whenever a player tries to go through the steps and phases of the turn, we'd be at the table all day. But remember, you do have the option within the rules to respond to whenever priority gets passed to you. So if something major is happening and you're worried that something big and scary is on the stack or showing up on the table, don't hesitate to speak up. Ask the players to slow down and be specific about whether they're going to respond to the scary thing on the stack or if they want to pass priority. Hey, player one's spell on the stack is really, really dangerous. We need to work together to stop it. Player two, priority is going to pass to you first. Can you do anything? No? Player three? We've already discussed in our previous episode on playing your seat that the burden of interaction often falls to the players later in turn order. But Commander is a social game, and talking is a free action. If you're sitting in a late seat in turn order, such as sitting in seat 4 while player 1 is casting a dangerous spell that needs to be countered, speak up if you don't have interaction. Listen, player 2, player 3, I can't stop this. So don't pass priority to me or we're all going to be in big trouble. One of you needs to counter player one's spell. Next, know the last chance you have to respond to certain commanders or strategies you see commonly in your metagame. As we mentioned a few moments ago, Rionya needs to be removed during the pre-combat main phase, but Winota can be removed during the beginning of combat step. If your opponents need to cast a spell during their main phase, the last chance you have to cast a silence is during their draw step. There are also a few triggered abilities which work at the beginning of the next end step, and remember that the game does not back up to start a new end step, which means that Feather Pilots, if you happen to cast your God's Willing during the player to your right's end step, you'll be without that spell until your end step. And your opponents will then have a whole turn where you don't have your protection spell to guard Feather against removal. Okay, I've done monster episodes before, but this was a monster episode. So I think I'm going to bow out here, even though we didn't cover state-based actions yet, and we skipped over a lot of other exceptions, but frankly, I'm beat. So if you have any other questions on this topic, you can leave us a comment on YouTube, where we are Gemstone Mine Podcast, you can add us on Twitter, where we are Gemstone Mine MTG, or you can email us, gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mine.